Hello and welcome to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. My name is Peter Bean, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we profile the Parksville Royals of the BC Premier Baseball League. Joining me to talk about the team is head coach Dave Wallace. In the first part of the interview, we talk about the current state of the game in British Columbia, as well as across Canada, and Dave tells us about his personal coaching methods. Then in part two, we discuss the history and philosophy of the Parksville Royals. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to that interview right now. All right, as promised, we have Dave Wallace of the Parksville Royals on the show. Thanks for being here, Dave.
No problem, my pleasure.
Now, before we talk about the program, I'd like to learn a little bit more about your background in baseball. How did you get started in the game?
Well, I, like most kids, I started when I was 13, 14 years old playing bantam baseball in Victoria. I grew up in Victoria. Progressed through there, through minor baseball, then played in the men's league is as far as I went with my baseball.
Now, how did you get into coaching?
Like most people, my son was interested in baseball back in the late 80s. He joined the local baseball association in Parksville, Oceanside Baseball, and I volunteered to coach and sort of moved up with him. When he got to grade 11 and grade 12, that's when the Premier Baseball League was formed, and I was involved in that.
Do you have a proudest moment as a coach?
You see them every practice. You see them every game. You see them all the time. I think, from my point of view, if I was to name one thing, is to see kids develop to their potential, go on to post-secondary schools, and further their education through their involvement in baseball.
Can you tell me something that you believe your players would say differentiates your coaching methods?
You'd have to ask them, but I have a reputation for being a little hard-nosed. I don't know if that differentiates me. I'm always fair. And I'm honest. I will not sugarcoat something. I do not tell people what I think they want to hear. I will try to be as honest as I can and as straightforward as I can.
All right, I want to ask you about baseball in British Columbia. What are your thoughts on the future of the sport in BC?
Right now, from today, I think it's different than what it was 20 years ago when the Premier Baseball League started. I think it's positive. You know, the glass is always half full, not half empty. But I believe, and this, my involvement is just with baseball, but I believe it applies to a lot of other sports. I think the cost of playing games is going to be a huge detriment to allowing all kids to play, and therefore the best athletes to play, or the better athletes to play. And that could be that's a really serious issue, the cost of all these sports. The future in baseball, it is growing in a certain extent, but I think we can do a better job.
Now, if you could change something about the way baseball is organized in Canada, is there anything that stands out that you would change?
That's an interesting question. I've been a proponent, a couple of things. I think the Canadian Amateur Baseball Association, in BC it's BC Minor Baseball, does a great job. The age groupings are great. The January birth dates, similar to hockey. The consistency January to January, that's very good. I believe the introductory levels, there's a far better job in the introductory levels. I believe there's far too much structure, though, in younger kids' baseball. Too much emphasis on games, too much emphasis on winning, up to and including the peewee level. I think once you get to the bantam level, 14, 15-year-olds, okay, fine. Now you can start specializing and put a little bit more emphasis on the games and the winning. To me, the way it goes is bantam is 14 and 15-year-olds, and then midget is 3 years, grade 10, 11, and 12, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. Bantam on an 80-foot diamond, I know this is a contentious issue. I believe that the midget level in Canada should be grade 11 and 12. Bantam should be grade 10 and 11 on a 90-foot, grade 9 and 10 on the 90-foot diamond. And then the rest should be on the 80-foot diamond. I think that would be a better model. It's never going to happen. But that's my own opinion on how that should be.
What about young Canadian ball players essentially competing in an American-dominated system? What do you think the biggest challenge is facing them, and what do you think we can do in this country to assist young players with that?
I think that's the biggest fallacy on the face of the earth. Canadian kids are every bit as good athletically as American kids. They just don't play as much because of the weather, the geography, and the weather conditions. I found this in BC in the last 20 years. I mean, this has always been this sort of in awe of American players. As soon as you cross the 49th parallel, there's apparently some magic dust that sprinkles on these guys. Total bogus. To me, it's Canadian kids, and it's proven in BC because of the geography. When you play in a program from April to July or August, you can compete with every American team. There's more people in the States, obviously. They've got we've only got 10% of the population, so therefore they're going to be better in that respect only because of numbers. They play year-round in some sports as you go further south, sure. But Canadians are every bit as good athletically in baseball and as anybody else. It's just a matter of getting out there and playing the games.
All right, let's talk about the Parksville Royals.
Sure.
Can you start by telling me about the genesis of the program, how it all got started?
It's interesting. The Parksville Royals started, they were one of the founding teams in what was then called the Island Premier Baseball League, which is Vancouver Island teams. And it was formed due to the fact that the local associations on the island felt that the players playing at the high school level, the midget age level, weren't getting the recognition, exposure, for lack of a better term, when it came to the Selects program, the Canada Cup type was the Blue Jay Cup at the time. And so an elite age program was started at the midget level back in 1995, based on Vancouver Island. Two teams of Victoria, a team in the Cowichan Valley, a team in Nanaimo, and a team in Parksville, which encompassed everything north of Nanaimo. That evolved into the Premier Baseball League. There were, at that same time, four teams in the Lower Mainland, the Coquitlam Reds, North Shore Twins, White Rock Tritons, and the Wally Chiefs, that were all independent. Then combining with North Delta, Abbotsford, Vancouver. After about 3 years, those teams all joined what was then the Island Premier Baseball League. It evolved into the Premier Baseball League, and that's what we have today, a 13-team league along with the Okanagan that sort of covers most of BC geographically. There's now four teams on the island, eight in the Lower Mainland, and one based in Kelowna.
Now, have you been with the team since the beginning?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about your program's philosophy, the core tenets that you built the program on.
Our philosophy since day one, and it evolves over time, is development-oriented, totally, mainly because of our kids come from a lot smaller communities than, say, the Lower Mainland teams or even Victoria or Nanaimo. We draw kids from as far away as Campbell River, Powell River, which is an hour and a half ferry ride to get to the island, and then another hour to the park. So we have kids coming from up to 2 hours away just to attend practice. So we have to sort of have a philosophy of development first. So if you play on our team, you're not going to sit on the bench. Playing time won't be equal, but it's going to be fair. These kids all pay the same amount of money to play, and in the development context, we will try to compete with these other teams. And we've been fairly successful, some years more successful than others. It depends on the talent level and the number of kids that come out. We've been very fortunate that there's some very good athletes that have come out to play in our program. You know, our philosophy is a little different. We do not play baseball like, and this is one of my other pet peeves, is any sport these young kids should be playing, they should not be playing at 12 months of the year. And that's what's happening in baseball, and I totally disagree with it. From our program's philosophy, our kids come from small communities, so the same kids that play on our baseball team also play on the school volleyball team or the basketball team, in some cases the football team. We encourage them to play as many school and club sports as possible, because if we don't, they're the same kids that are playing. They won't have enough players to play those, have those programs. So we cannot put 12 months of a year into one program, just sheer numbers. I don't think it's healthy to begin with.
What about recruiting? How do you recruit for the team?
We don't recruit at all. We have a geographic area from our area, and the way the league rules are structured. That's not to say we don't get kids from other associations who come by. The way the league is structured is everybody in the league has a geographic area that they draw from to allow for kids that say, gee, you know, I don't think I'm going to get a fair chance with that program, or I don't think I'm going to get to play very much, or maybe there's a conflict with the coaching, or for whatever reason, parents decide I'd like my son to play in the adjacent association. They have to go through a process, a very simple process, and get a release from that team, and it has to be given to them. We don't try to hold kids back, but they have to talk to the coach from that specific area to get a release. One of the other rules they have is their first year in the program is that they should play in their local association, just so that local association or team can showcase their program. So from us, because of our geography, like I say, we have kids that come an hour and a half to practice, and the way it's situated on the island, it's a linear thing. If they don't come to Parksville, they go to Nanaimo. That's another 20 minutes away. So it's a huge commitment time-wise. So we usually, in fact, in 20 years, there might have been less than five kids from our catchment area that haven't played for us, that have gone to Nanaimo or somewhere else to play. And that's not because of anything we do. It's just the geography.
For our listeners who may not know, tell me a little bit about Parksville, about the city.
Parksville itself, it's 15,000 people, small community, tourist-oriented. It's on a beach, 2-hour drive north of Victoria on the east coast of Vancouver Island. Smaller, more retirement community. Parksville and Qualicum are right side by side, and they both have the highest average age for residents in Canada. I think the average age is 58 years old, something like that. So it's a tourist-oriented retirement community. There is a high school in Qualicum. There is a high school in Parksville. We draw kids from those, and we also draw players from Port Alberni, 40 minutes away to the west. Courtney and Campbell River, which are both bigger cities, they're in the 20 to 30,000 population, but Courtney's 40 to 45 minutes away. Campbell River is another 20 minutes on top of that. We've had players from Powell River, like I say, which is an hour and a half ferry ride to Courtney and then to the park. We've had kids from Texada Island, which is another ferry ride to Powell River and then another ferry ride to Courtney and then to the park. So, and good players. 2 years ago, Clayton Isherwood played the national junior team. He's from Texada Island. And he made the commitment to play for us and did extremely well. And now he is currently at a junior college in Texas and doing very well.
What about your home facility? Where do you play?
We play at Park Springwood Park. It's a school facility. It's not a dedicated baseball field. It's used in the wintertime for soccer and for football. So we put the fence up on the field the middle of March. We take it down Labor Day, and we play our fall ball without a fence. We look after the field ourselves. But the maintenance, the main maintenance, is done by the city of Parksville. We're very fortunate. They cooperate fully. We've been also very fortunate. The one thing in a smaller community, there's a lot of support locally from service clubs to help out the community sports, kids sports, younger kids sports. I think over the 20 years, we've put, I believe it's over $250,000 worth of donated money into the field with the batting cage, maintenance on the field, the dugouts and that stuff. It's not the infield itself, the field surface is tremendous. The field is a school field, more or less, and but it's very adequate for what we do, and you know, we're quite proud of the facility we have.
Outside of your regular schedule, are there any additional events or training camps, things like that, that you run or attend to get the kids any additional exposure?
Our team, personally, or normally, not really. We host a tournament every year, and this next year will be the 20th annual tournament, which we incorporate. It's called BC's Best, and we've had teams from Ontario. You know, the Ontario Blue Jays have come out. We've had teams from France. We had teams from Australia. Okotoks, Calgary, or just south of Calgary, has come to that tournament. That's an extra tournament that we've had every year, and our regular PBL schedule of 48 games. We have our own indoor training. We start in January. We've been very fortunate just south of Parksville. There's a large indoor facility that is an equestrian center, and the owners of it purchased the turf and stands from BC Place in Vancouver when they renovated it a couple of years ago. And they've installed that in conjunction with Nanaimo Minor Soccer, who uses it for training, but we use it for a training facility, which is really beneficial to our guys. It's a massive indoor facility, allows us to do a lot of things. We're looking at putting some batting cages in there, too, at the same time. And but because, again, our geography, we do not go to Arizona. We do not take special trips like a lot of teams do. There's a couple of reasons for that. I don't believe it's totally necessary. It's a great experience. It's what you have to weigh there is the value for the money that it costs. And in our experience with our teams and the number of kids that we've had gone on to post-secondary professional baseball and played for the BC Select teams, played for the national junior team, it hasn't hurt them by not participating in those things. I'm a firm believer that we have to keep the cost down in order to allow participation and excellence, and you don't have to charge parents $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 a year in order to have that success. Our kids play $1,900 a year. That includes all their travel, all their they'll play another $150 or $50 in the fall, but that includes all their travel, all their hotels. They don't pay any more than that. They get a $200 or $300 worth of gear out of that, between uniforms and that type of things. If we charged more than that, we would lose a lot of players just because of the economics of it. And I believe, in alluding to what I said earlier, that's one of the biggest concerns I have with the development of all minor sports, is the cost. We're a volunteer organization. None of our coaches get paid. We might be, I think, in the 13-team Premier League, there might be one or two other teams that do that, but the other teams are paying their coaches, and I understand that. I'm a little old school, but I understand the reality of now. You have to pay people. They put in a lot of time. And so the costs, and that has to be paid for by parents. I believe we don't have to do as much of that. I know I'm in the minority. I know my own personal opinion. When I grew up, I was coached by volunteer people. Like I say, I'm a little old school, and maybe I'm back in the 20th century, and the reality today is different. However, I still believe there's not enough volunteerism in these minor sports. And I don't think, personally, we try to tailor our program for these kids. I don't think they lose anything by not participating in some of these things. Now, some of our exceptional players, yes, they've gone on to the Canada or BC select team, which is the Canada Cup. They've made the national junior team. Hasn't been detrimental to them. So those are the top-notch guys. That's taken care of by the Greg Hamilton's national junior team program, which is an outstanding program.
Who are some of the coaches that coached in the program with you?
On our team or in the league?
On your team.
On our team, our pitching coach, Jim Saradek, he's been with us for over 10 years. He just retired a couple of years ago from as a school teacher in Alberni. Our hitting coach is Wes Dielman. He's been with us for the last 2 years. And we've got a young guy, Bruce Byrow, who just graduated from Douglas College, and he's taking his teaching degree and working on his practicums right now, and he does our conditioning, and he's a former player who has come back, and he helps us out when he can in between his school work. We are affiliated with a Bantam team. Just last year we reaffiliated, and it's our feeder system, and it's run by Ryan Chenard, who's a school teacher in Campbell River, and he is assisted by two other school teachers. And if you get the theme here, our coaches are mostly school teachers, which is a huge benefit to us. They have the training in dealing with kids. They have the ability to, they deal with lots of numbers of kids, and they can deal one-on-one with kids. We're very fortunate to have that benefit, the teachers that are involved and that contribute their time to their communities, and our program's so much better off because of it.
Okay, last season, did you have any standout performances by any of your players that you'd like to highlight?
Not really. I hate to, last 2 years we've struggled. We've retooled our program a little bit. Last year, our program is ideally, to go back a little bit, in the Premier League, there's a senior program and a junior program. We tried to put a junior program. We had it for 2 or 3 years. We just weren't competitive. We didn't have the numbers. We were using grade 8 kids in some instances and grade 9 kids. They just physically can't compete with grade 10 and 11 kids that they're in the junior programs. So we've dropped that junior program, gone back to the Bantam model of grade 8 and 9s playing Bantam, and that's going to work for us. So what we try to do is we'll take 18 to 20 kids, 6th grade 10, 6th grade 11, 6th grade 12. Most of the teams in the Premier League don't have grade 10s on it, unless they're absolutely exceptional. Brett Laurie was a player who played as a grade 9, I believe, in the league, and in grade 10 he moved on. The professional, the prospects will play as grade 10s. We, because of numbers, we'll take, and last year we had 8 grade 10s on our team. Physically overmatched, hey, but they learned something about the game. They got beat up a little bit, but they're better off for it this coming year. We've got a bunch of graduating Bantam players coming in this year, so we'll be young again. But because of the development aspect that we emphasize, those kids coming in collectively are going to be that much further ahead than the grade 10 kids that came in last year that are now grade 11. Our team this year will be majority grade 10 and 11 kids. We only have 4 grade 12 kids on our team. They're very good players, but we're going to be young again. We didn't have any select players last year or any national team players the last 2 years, actually. Previous to that, we've had a number of players that have played on the national junior team. Clayton Isherwood, who I mentioned before, Kevin Byrow, and going back a few years, Paul Barton. These guys have all gone on to college baseball. And then Ethan Stewart is in the Philadelphia organization. Taylor Green plays for the Milwaukee Brewers, who's injured most of the year. Carter Bell plays in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization, went to Oregon State. But that was 3, 4, 5 years ago when those guys played. So it goes in cycles. We're sort of, I would suggest or hopeful and suggest that, and what I've seen in the last fall is we're sort of on an upward trend again. There is some pretty good athletes coming up for our team. So we'll compete. Our goal is to compete, to make the playoffs. We'll be in a battle to make the playoffs. Last 2 years, unfortunately, we haven't competed very well. I mean, that's the honest truth. We finished last and second to last in the league. I think we had 6 wins last year. That's one measure of success. To us, it's not the most important measure of success. Developing kids to play the game, to be ready to play at the next level, is a more important aspect of our program for our guys. And I believe we've been fairly successful at. We have 3 kids that play for UBC right now, and which is a great thing. 2 things: to get into UBC academically is very difficult to do. You need an 80%, 82% average in core subjects just to get into UBC. And then to play in that program, it's a very elite program. Terry McKeag does just an outstanding job with the UBC program. And for us to have 3 players there is a really positive aspect of our program.
And that's it for today's podcast. I'd like to thank Dave Wallace of the Parksville Royals for joining me on today's show. I'd also like to thank Effective Business Video for the production for our podcast, and The Isotopes for providing the music. If you have a suggestion for the show, please email me at peter.bean@canadianbaseballnetwork.com. Thanks for listening to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. This is Peter Bean, signing off.